In Matthew 25, 40, Jesus says, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me." Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Holder, president of the Full Gospel Fellowship, and I'm excited to talk to you today about a new expansion of our ministry, an opportunity to carry the full gospel to the poor, the marginalized, and needy like never before. Here at the Fellowship, we've always had a passion for serving the least of these, the lost, the hurting, the broken. Now, after over a year of prayer and discerning the prompting of the Holy Spirit, our leadership team strongly feels God calling us to care for the least of these in a new way, by serving and caring for the children of prisoners. Did you know that there are 14 million children of prisoners scattered around the world? Of these, more than 1 million live in terribly poor countries where they struggle just to survive. They are invisible and face rejection by society, and many times immediate family reject them. It's difficult for churches to care for this unique population of children on their own. But the Fellowship, together with Prison Fellowship International, is pioneering a groundbreaking effort to make a lasting difference in the lives of these children. Recently, Ken, our Global Missions Director, and I visited Prison Fellowship's international program in Zambia. We witnessed firsthand why the children of prisoners need our help. These children aren't just missing a parent. They often live in dangerous areas and are at the highest risk of being abused or forced into sex trafficking and child labor. And they are 5 to 10 times more likely to end up in prison themselves. Our ministry partner, Prison Fellowship International, has been working for more than 37 years to bring the gospel to prisoners and their families in 120 countries. They work with local churches and volunteers to find these children and ensure that they get the food, the medicine they need to be healthy. Dedicated caseworkers visit each child to make sure they live in a safe home, protected from abuse and exploitation. Each child is given the opportunity to have an education along with their peers, and they receive Christian guidance to help heal emotional wounds and build their confidence. You don't have to travel across the globe to make a difference. You can show God's love to a child in need from right where you are. It takes just over $1 a day, $35 a month, to bring hope to a suffering child of a prisoner. Start a one-to-one relationship today. Your regular support will provide what your sponsored child needs to have a brighter future. Our goal as the Fellowship is to reach and care for 10,000 children over the next 5 years. I believe we can do it. I challenge you to join with me and sponsor a child of a prisoner today, and to encourage your church families to catch this vision. I can already see the impact we will make together in the lives of so many who desperately need to know the love and life of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me to reach the least of these.
Hallelujah. That's Pastor Steve Holder. He pastors a great church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Great friend. I probably see him 4 or 5 times a year with a couple of the other guys that are on the executive board. Great folks, great people. Have a passion for Jesus Christ, and he's quite a preacher too. Well, I hope to get him in here at some point. He preaches with that southern flair, and he's a lot of fun. And I feel very privileged to be able to be on the executive board with such a great man like him. I want to talk to you this morning during this Thanksgiving season, where we're supposed to be thankful. Remember the things that we're thankful for. Remember what Jesus Christ has done for us, the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. We're blessed, though, for a purpose. We are blessed for a purpose. God didn't just bless you. He enjoys blessing you, but he blessed you with a purpose and for a purpose. And we need to remember to thank Him for all of the blessings that He gives us. A lot of times we don't even thank Him for so many things until you go on a mission trip and realize what everybody else doesn't have, and you come back home and you thank Him for this and you thank Him for that and thank Him for a warm bed and thank Him for a hot shower. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him all the time. We need to be thanking the Lord for what He does for us. That's why I love Wednesday service when we start with the idea of the blessings that the Lord gave us that week, that we don't just forget about them or just push them off to the side or that like they don't matter, but they do matter and we're thankful for them. The little or big or whatever, are you thankful for what God has done for you each and every day? Are you thankful your car has a flat tire? Because a lot of people don't have cars. We're mad about the flat tire, but a lot of people would love to have a flat tire because they'd love to have the car that came with the flat tire. We look at, it's all a matter of perspective. You need to understand how blessed we are, and we need to be thankful for that. But we're blessed with a purpose. In Matthew chapters 24 and 25, Jesus begins with this discussion about the end times. And if you wouldn't mind standing with me, I'm going to read Matthew 25, 31 through 36, our scripture. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." We're going to stop right there. You may be seated. I'll go on further with this passage, but I just wanted to get the idea of where we're going. In Matthew 24, he says, "Now, as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" He's going to talk about this end of the age. What's going to happen in the end? And then he starts, for the next two chapters here, he starts a long dissertation about the tribulation and about the second coming and the parable of the fig tree and the illustration about in the days of Noah and about the two servants and the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, 5 are ready, 5 were not ready. We need to get ready, stay ready, and grow. And then there's the parable about the talents, about being a good steward of what the Lord has given you, that we have to give an account for everything. And then he ends two chapters of dissertation about the end times with this last parable about the separation of sheep from goats. Now, there's a lot of interpretations for you Bible scholars out there. There's a lot of thoughts about who this is referring to. Some say this is an end time prophecy referring to just Gentiles, that Christians aren't even involved in here. So he's really talking about Gentiles, the separation out of Gentiles. He's talking about those who treat the Jews well, and therefore he's going to give a blessing on them. Some say it could be Christians and non-Christians. There's a lot of theological thoughts about this particular passage and who directly does it relate to. But here's what I want to get. I want to get the heart of God for the least of these. Because what it does explain is what he feels about poor and marginalized people in the world. Okay? So regardless of who he's chatting about, and a lot of commentators also think he's talking about us, so I'm just saying there's a lot of discussion about what this chapter actually really means, this particular verse. But I do know this, his heart for people who aren't as well off as us. My point is to get God's heart on people less fortunate. What it means to minister to the least of these is still very, very important to God. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. He's describing these end time events that will take place as He comes to judge. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. There's some sort of separation that's taking place here, all right? He's making some delineation between two groups of people here. He's separating them out. Just like he separated out the wheat from the tares. They go together, but he separates them out. Or the good fish from the bad fish on the shore. Or the wheat from the chaff at the threshing floor. He's talking about this separation. There's this separation process between things that kind of are together. They just kind of grow together. They are together. And then all of a sudden God says, oh, I'm gonna pull some things out. The righteous and the wicked live in the land together, but all of a sudden he's going to make a delineation here. At some point, at the end of time, saved, non-saved, there's going to be a delineation, a separation that's going to take place. It's kind of like, it's not like me, but I enjoy golf, and I wish I could golf more than I do, but I get about 6 or 7 times out in a year, and I enjoy playing with a certain golf ball. Now, when I go golfing, I also hunt for golf balls, so I'm playing along, and then if I come to a pond, I have this real long ball retriever. It's longer than most because all the ones close are taken, but the ones out there are not, so some are taken, some are left, and so there's a biblical reference here somehow, so I'm trying to get those who are left and take them and that are left, so there's some biblical reason why I'm golfing. But I'm grabbing all these golf balls. I grab all these golf balls. I'm sure I've gotten thousands of golf balls. But when I look at the golf ball, I look at them and I go, nope, nope, nope. And I start dividing them out to the ones I will never play with. I won't hit them. I won't do nothing with them. I give them to my kids. I don't want them. The one that I want, I want a Titleist Pro V1. I want a Titleist Pro V. You know why? Because it has a really soft cover. It has a soft. You see, there's biblical implications in this whole message. It has a soft cover. And the softer the cover is, the more action you can put on the ball, make it spin, make it stop. You can do all sorts of stuff. The hard ones, like a Top Rock. We call it Top Rock, but it's what? Top Flight? Is that what? Yeah, we don't. They just. But that soft one. So I'm separating them out between no and yes. And so my bag is full of all Pro V1s, and I get all that other stuff out of there. I'm separating it out. Why? Because I like what I like. Why is God separating things out? Because God likes what he likes. He likes what he likes. He wants what he wants. I want Pro V1. God wants righteous people. And he will set the sheep on his right hand. And the goats, you know what goats do? They butt. You know, they butt all the time. Goats are always, well, yeah, I was going to do that, but. Yeah, yeah, no, I want to give that, but. No, 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 I was going to show up there, but. No, I was going to help there, but. I was going to help, but. They got butts all over the place. So he puts the sheep, yes, Lord, on the left, or excuse me, on the right. And the goats, but Lord, on the left. Okay, I know I took a little liberty there. It's interesting, though, the reference to a custom of the of left and right is something that comes from the Sanhedrin of putting the acquitted prisoner on the right of the president and those who were convicted on his left. Those acquitted on the right, those convicted were put on his left. It was always thought then that the right hand was the great hand, the left hand was the lesser hand, either dishonor or lesser honor. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom. Now, wow, that's a wow. They get to inherit the kingdom, heaven. Now, this is a huge, huge, huge benefit. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God has been working on this and preparing this for a long, 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 long time, waiting for this event for a long, long time before the world was even formed. Why do you get this benefit? Why do you get this benefit? Because we got placed on the right. Why did we get placed on the right hand? Why are we there? He says why. You got placed on the right because verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. These things are important to God. We get a big reward for doing this for Jesus. But we didn't do it for Jesus. They're going, wait a second. Okay, wait. We get a big reward for this and all the, you're telling us this. Did we do that? I don't remember, Lord, on our campouts that I remember cooking one night and I fed you up some grits, whatever. I remember passing the canteen to you and you took a sip of water. I never saw you sick. When were you in prison? Lord, what did you do, man? What did you do? By the way, I encourage all of you, some of you who don't know it all, to Google Keith Green and ask, what's a song called? Sheep and the Goats. Google Keith Green, Sheep and the Goats. Amazing. Keith Green was an amazing guy. He never took any money on any of his concerts, an artist. He did it all for the Lord. He was hardcore, though, man. He was hardcore following Jesus. And that song is a hardcore song. It's delightful. It's funny. It's about a 6-minute song, but I encourage you to do it. Google Keith Green and Sheep and the Goats. And get the main track. So we're confused. We didn't do it for you. What do you mean? We weren't there. I didn't get you a hamburger. I didn't do that. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink, or when did you see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you, or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. This is important, folks, because this is the heart of God. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. They didn't even know they'd done good. He's blessing these folks. They didn't even know they had done good. As a matter of fact, they're surprised by this. What? They didn't even know. My observation, doing things for others is like doing them for Jesus. Next time your mom says, hey, take out the garbage, you're doing that for Jesus. Next time, so husband, when you take the garbage out, yes, my Lord, is what you say. You say, yes, my Lord, I will do it. Honey, can you do, yes, my Lord, my lady, my love? We're doing it for the Lord. Do we understand this? This is just, when you help the least of these, there are unintended consequences. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, those unintended consequences, the thing that happened you weren't even looking at, and all of a sudden, wow, look what happened here. Unintended consequences when we reach out to poor and marginalized people, when we help people that can't help themselves. The tough thing about poor people is we go, well, if they just had a job, or they just did it, we try to judge why they should, and God says, hey, don't judge them, just help them. I'll work on them. Sometimes I think I'm not going to, because they could have da-da-da-da-da, instead of, you know what, I'm just going to do what you said here. You take care of attitudes and emotions. I'm just going to give. I'm just going to do. Their motive was not for the reward. Their motive was sacrificial love. I just love these people. That's why I did it. Lord, we were feeding people and doing this and helping people. We went and saw those folks. There's no big deal. Oh, no big deal? It's a huge deal to God. Oh, we were just walking by. We just went to the nursing home, sang a few songs. Oh, no big deal? Oh, no. Oh, I just delivered a few meals to those who were shut in. No big deal. We went on a mission trip. We just gave money to help the poor, feed people in Malawi. We just, no big deal. Huge deal. To God, it's a huge, huge deal. That's why he blessed you. So you could bless the least of these. You could bless the least of these. They weren't looking for a pat on the back, but God sees it differently. God sees it differently, and he rewards you. The word least, least, a Greek word that means least. Yeah, that's why I'm up here, in part, just to the rest of you out there. Just want you to know that the word does mean least, case. It means least in size, amount, or dignity. Least in size, amount, or dignity, pertaining to being of the lowest status, lowest, least important, or last. The least of these, the needy, the fatherless, the widows, the poor. That does something to God. And he's blessing you so you can. He's blessing you so you can. My observations from this lesson, lessons we're to learn here. Number one, how you treat others is how Jesus sees you treating him. Flipping to somebody, flipping to Jesus. Mad at the driver that pulled up in front of you, mad at Jesus. Yelling profanities to the person who, yelling profanities to the Lord of Lords. Isn't this fun? How you treat your spouse, your kids, your friends, your boss, your enemies. Jesus sees it, you're treating him that way. We must see that all that we do, as if we're doing it to Jesus, not just for Jesus. Hear what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm doing it to Jesus, not just for. We're over here on this mission trip, I'm doing it for Jesus. No, you're doing it to him. You're doing it to him. Not just for him, but to him. Second lesson, God wants us to be generous with our life and resources. He wants us to be generous with our life and resources. How many people love stingy people? How many people love generous people? Stingy? Generous? Yay! What are you? Stingy or generous? This isn't salvation by good works. We're not talking about how you do a bunch of good deeds and you're going to get saved here. It's tapping into God's heart. God has a special place in his heart for the have-nots. You have to understand this. God has a special place in his heart for the have-nots. The people down on their luck. The people that are having difficulty making ends meet. Do you realize that you are so wealthy that 2.6 billion people on the face of this planet live on less than $2 a day. Live on less than $2 a day. 2.6 billion of the seven. He loves the have-nots. He loves the have-nots. And the people who take care of the people that he cares about ministers to God. The people who take care of the people he cares about ministers to him. Let me tell you this. He will return the favor. He will give you favor. He will favor you as you touch his heart by ministering to the least of these. He's looking to how we're going to respond to the least of these. God wants to help the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the needy. Observation, God blesses you so you can bless others. God blesses me so I can have more blessing. Let me tell you what. the tap is going to be shut off if you're just going to consume it on yourself. Or you won't enjoy it. And you may have it all, but you won't enjoy it. I see so many people commit suicide, so many famous people have everything. Something ain't clicking, though. Here's some scriptures. Let me just read a couple of these. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. John 12:8, for the poor you will have with you always. Oh, bummer. No, you always have an opportunity to minister. You'll always have an opportunity to minister. You'll always have an opportunity to give away of what God has given you, to keep the stream going and flowing. Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him, honors God, has mercy on the needy. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor, look what it says here, lends to the Lord. God, do you need some money? You need to borrow something? Yeah, I got this guy, man, he's begging for food over here. Okay, can you give him something? Ah, man, next time, Lord, bring your wallet. And we pull out our wallet and we give something to that person. Oh, thank you. Hey, let me tell you what, when God says this, hey, I owe you one, that's the person on all the face of the earth you want owing you one. He has the biggest checkbook in the world. When he says, hey, I owe you one. Oh, honey, guess what? God owes me one. Not that we're living for God to owe us one. He lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. He will pay it back, and the Lord will pay it back with interest, and he has a great interest rate. It's incredible. You see, marginalized people are on God's radar. Blip, blip, blip. Are they on yours? His heart goes out to these people, and God's heart goes out to the people whose heart goes out to them. God blesses those who bless the people his heart goes out to. Will we stand in the gap for some people who can't stand there themselves? Well, if you just, they're not there yet. But we are. Who will go for them? Who will stand in the gap? He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eye will have many curses. You don't want to give? Fine, keep it all. You'll lose it. Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 31, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Psalm 68, the father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Psalm 82:3, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Do you understand that the Bible says, we, his church, we, his Christians, are supposed to be the advocates for those who are hurting. Amen. We're supposed to care for their needs, pursue justice on their behalf, and don't neglect their spiritual or social and natural needs. It's interesting that in God's law, he made sure that an indentured servant would be released. His land would be restored in the year of Jubilee. He made provision that the edges of anybody's field couldn't be harvested because it was for the poor. The poor could come and take all the stuff they could glean around the edges because God always has made plans for the poor because he knows they'll always be here. And at some point, somebody makes a wrong decision, something happens, financial disaster comes, and we're hurting, and we didn't plan on it. And God says, hey, got you covered. I'll get you back up on your feet. We're going to take care of you. God's heart is to care for people. I love 1 Corinthians 1:26-28. For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen. Look what God chooses. You know, something's wrong. Somebody's going to have to sit down and have a talk with him because I don't think he chooses wisely, grasshopper. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised. God chose those things which are not to bring nothing. The things that are. You see, God chooses foolish things, dull and stupid, it means, or weak things, which means strengthless, or base things, which means obscure or insignificant, or despised things, which means worthless or has no value, or things that are not, which is no big deal. That's how He chooses. How do you think you got onto His list? I was the dull and stupid one. Continuing on in the scripture. Then He will say to those on the left hand, what do you say to the left-handed folks? Depart from me. What? What do we do? Depart from me. That's an ouch. You cursed. That's a double ouch. Into everlasting fire. That's a triple ouch. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Ouch, that's pretty drastic. What did these people do to warrant this? What did they do? What did these people do to warrant such a trifecta of problems here? Why? For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you, say it with me, did not do it to one of the least of these. Did not do it. You did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous and into eternal life. Now, everlasting, now that seems harsh. I told you the righteous, they didn't know they'd done good. They were surprised. I think these folks didn't know they had done bad. And they're really surprised. Here's the thing. Standing before the Lord. But Lord, I did nothing to warrant this. And the Lord says, exactly. You did nothing. You did nothing. And that's why it warrants this. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Let me tell you what, if you're a tithe-paying member here, we're doing a lot. We're doing a lot of stuff, a lot of places. If you're in part committed to this body and you're helping a servant do, we're doing a number of things. I'm not here to toot my horn or our horn, not at all. Our church is not at all. We have so much more to do. We have so much more to do. But it says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. We give the local food banks the first of every month on a Sunday. We bring food in. Folks, bring food in. Bring food in. Bring food in. We're going to give it to the poor. We're going to give it to the needy in our community. Bring food in. Internationally, in Malawi, thinking about hungry and you gave me food. In Malawi, 2 years ago, we gave them $16,000 to get them through famine because, you see, all they live on corn for breakfast and corn for lunch and corn for dinner. A tin of corn, 5 gallons, about $7, but they only make about a dollar so a day. So they're going through a famine and they couldn't even grow the corn because, you see, we've gone to Malawi. We taught them how to farm. We brought people in there, told them how to farm, got them land, and trying to get them a business proposition of how they could grow food and then sell the food and then make more money, replant it, grow more, and become a business operation. That's what we're trying to do in Malawi right now. But right now they're in a time of famine again. It's not raining, it's raining too much. And so we're going to give money again because 2 years ago, people would have died had we not given them food. And all they wanted was a tin of corn. That's all they eat. Pastor Isaiah lost his 5-year-old son a little while ago. He's lost a couple of children. It's a harsh place to live. Malaria and so many things. Last time we were there, we did a whole educational thing on how to prevent malaria. We want to help him again, church. Help, give, please. Please give so we can help him. We're going to be going back to Uganda and Malawi in early spring or middle spring. We're going to be doing a ordination service for Deleo Moses Ochin, who's in charge of digging wells. He's dug over 500 wells, this man. He has a church. He has a school. He oversees hundreds of other churches. He's an amazing guy. He's actually reached out to Curtis and said, "Hey, Curtis, could you be my mentor and my accountability partner?" And he asked us if we would go over and set him into the ministry. This guy's doing more ministry than us. Food. We give out food all the time. College students, big consumer of food. We love you guys. Meals on Wheels every January. We give out, we do Meals on Wheels every day, all the lunch hour. We go around and make sure that all the shut-ins have food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. We look at Malawi again. We did two wells there. We dug two wells in Malawi. We want to do a whole bunch more wells, but you have to understand that these people in Malawi, I mean, they're so thankful. They're praying. They're rejoicing. They're throwing water over the place because we put this well. And you see, they would go 1.5 miles to get water, bringing a 5-gallon bucket. 1.5 miles to get water. 1.5 miles to get it. Once they're there, because there's so many people there every day, because there's so many people there, that the water table gets drawn down. So they have to wait 4 to 6 hours in order to get in line and wait for the water table to come back so that they could fill up their bucket and then walk 1.5 hours back. 9 hours in their day is taken up just to get 5 gallons of water. 5 gallons. This is 5 gallons of water. Who's a real strong college kid? Where's it real strong? Somebody bring, who's new here? Who's in carpentry series? Some guy here. Come on. Come on up here. Yeah, come on, come on. All right, up here again. All right, grab this. Hurry, run up here.
All right, Caleb.
Okay. Woo! You just spent 9 hours getting that. Take it back to the family. Hurry, get it back to them. They're 1.5 miles, they're 1.5 hours away. Just go, dude. Can you go a little faster, man? They need the water! Hurry up, come back here. No, they're over here. You took a wrong turn. Come back this way. Come on over here. Now, you got to understand, it's 44 pounds. That's what they're carrying on this, all right? They're carrying this. But hey, you're not doing it right. They do it on their head. Put on your head, dude.
Oh, no.
Hold it. Turn around.
Okay.
Show them.
Hey, guys.
You got to go like that. Okay, all right. How's it feel? Does it hurt a little bit?
A little bit.
Okay, a little bit. Okay. Now be a girl because the girls do this.
Oh, no.
No. You can't do that part, huh? No, okay, let me just... Oh. That was a little... Oh! Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, actually.
No, I'm just kidding you. All right. Sit down. Ushers! Touche! You were listening. I can see. You were listening last week, right? You were listening. That's good. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. We gave them wells. 5,000 a pop. Well, it's a little more than 5,000 a pop in order to do those wells that are there. You know, 9 hours to carry back 5 gallons. In the United States, we use 100 gallons of water a day. I'll tell you what, if that's all you had for everything, you brush your teeth differently. We kind of...
Oh,
floss, put on your deodorant, aftershave. Oh, turn it off. They'd love to have that. You know, we gave out a whole bunch of water bottles to all those college students. 5,000 water bottles to all those folks. A stranger and you took me in. Family Promise. We belong to Family Promise of the Palouse, where 4 times a year we as a church house homeless families for 1 week at a time. We set up beds for them. Curtis is in charge of this. We set up beds for them. We feed them. They go and get training. They go and get all this work to help them in getting a job and all of that. But we house them and feed them and make sure that they're well taken care of. We do it 4 times during the year. A lot of things you just never know about. New people in this church family. We love having international folks who will come and do food and all sorts of great things and taking people in and making this a second home for people. College students trying to make it a second home for you. A home away from home. We care about people. Alms, we give out alms all the time, every week. Curtis is working with people who want a handout, who are down on their luck and need a hand up, need a help. Adoptions, we have people who have adopted children. We have people here in our church who are doing foster parenting, and I thank you so much for what you're doing. We as a church sponsor a child. His name is David from Uganda, from the Watoto tribe. We started when he was 2. He's now 8 years old. His mother abandoned him and just left him, and we took him in. I was naked and you clothed me. Pajamas. Do you know that Mary Baldridge and her crew starts January 1 in order to make about 300 pairs of pajamas so that on by December we can give out 300 pairs of pajamas. Do you know since we started this, we made 2,500 pairs of pajamas for needy kids in our community. Mary, great job. Great job. Thank you for you and your team who does it without anybody ever knowing. We have a lady who makes blankets. She's in a nursing home. And when we go out on mission trips, we give them out to all of the kids out there. I was sick and you visited me. Nancy Grunewald leads a group of people called Love Him, H-Y-M-N, because they go to the nursing home and they just sing them the songs that they love, worship songs to people who are having trouble memorizing or understanding, remembering even who they are. Needy, hurting, scared. They're just taking to them the love of Jesus at Bishop Place. Ecuador Medical Missions. Every year, Nancy Gregory leads a team of doctors, local doctors and medical professionals to the poverty-stricken people and children of Ecuador, also trying to help them learn how to grow their own food. Cadi is also helping. We help her in all the stuff she's doing there as well. It's a wonderful, amazing thing as we're giving them free medical help and care, and then preaching the gospel to them, and thousands are getting saved. Haiti, we do an orphan. We have orphans that are over there every year. CJ and Jesse Weaver lead a mission trip to the orphanage there at El Bethel in Haiti. I believe this: every person should go on a mission trip once in their life at least, and you should do it early. Every college kid, every high school kid, I encourage you to get them on the missions field because they'll look at life differently when they come back. They'll have more of an appreciation for what God has given them. It'll take a little arrogance and a little pride out of them and bring a sense of humility and love inside of them. I strongly recommend it. A free clinic, Namita, here from Living Faith, a number of years ago, started the whole thing in Pullman here. Then on Thursday nights, they do free medical care. I was in prison. You came to me. We do prison ministry. We've done it. We do it every month. Thomas leads a group of men who go down there every month to Cottonwood and minister to those who are incarcerated, to the prisoners that are in there, talking to them about Jesus, leading them to Christ, filling them up with the Holy Spirit, giving them hope and help, and we take prayer requests and needs of those who are asking for help when they get out of there. Prison Fellowship International, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more at the end of this thing, where we sponsor children of parents who are incarcerated. We're also involved in Poverty Awareness Task Force, where Curtis meets with all of the representatives from all of the fire and police and all the emergency folks, and they've asked us to be involved as well so that we could be prepared in case there's an emergency. We'd like to use this place as a place where we to house a number of those things. Operation Christmas Child, all the shoe boxes that we do, blood drives we do twice a year, missionaries and missions trips to Ecuador. We have Amy Carlson over there in Cadi, Haiti, the orphanage there, the Philippines. We go there and help them that are hit by a tropical storm. Kosovo, Nathan and Miranda Troll there. Myanmar, we do Bible translation into Lunang language. They don't know the Bible. They don't have it in their own language. And so we are sponsoring, have been for, I don't know how many years, almost 10 years now, to get the Bible in their language. And I think Tom and I think his son are going to go there this year and kind of see all that's happened there. We have Malawi, we do missions through. We have Tellinis in Italy. We're involved in Palouse Care Network. John's the chairman. We've had the past CEO is a member of this church. There's just so many things. And again, I didn't say that to say, oh, wow, look at us, because there's so much more to do. Let me conclude with this. Some action steps. Number one, get involved. Give. Give your tithes and offerings. If you haven't been giving for some reason, because it's tough for you, then make it a sacrifice. God will open up the floodgates of heaven, but I'll tell you what, when you give, we're gonna fund all these things. We're gonna help people live. Give. You'll be blessed if you do. If you haven't, do something. Give. Secondly, we're gonna have to, $16,000 or $17,000. I don't know how much it's gonna take for us to feed the folks that we know in Malawi again. Give to that. But let me say this, and if I could be so kind in saying this, don't just go, oh, I was giving to the church that, now I'm going to give to this over here. God's saying, what's above and beyond? You need to give your tithe to the church, to the local storehouse the Bible talks about. Then what are you doing above and beyond that? We have so many people here that are above and beyonders. And I thank all of you so much for your above and beyondness, because it's absolutely breathtaking. But I want to challenge you, if you're, don't just refund something this way to that way. Add it. I'm going to make this gift. I'm going to do a one-time gift for the wells. I'm going to do a one-time gift for food. Or maybe I'm going to do an ongoing, or I'm going to add something to our budget. Give in addition. Not just a reappropriation. And thirdly, back there in the back, I have 66 children from Colombia, Rwanda, India, and Nepal, all separated up by country. 66 kids whose mom or dad is in jail. And now because their mom and dad is in jail, they're the ridicule, the butt end of all the jokes in their community. They're the ones that, how are they making ends meet? Mom and dad are gone, or maybe dad's gone. No food, schooling. There's such high risk for sex trafficking. It's huge. One girl, what they were doing with these kids is they were actually putting them with the parents in jail. Both parents were in, they were putting them in jail with their parents. They had one kid who was sexually abused in another guy's cell over here. And they found her 2 days later dead in that cell. They're trying to get the kids out of prison. Their parents did the crime, but they're doing the time. We can help them. There's 66 of them up there. It's $35 a month. What could I go without so that they could go with? I want to get all 66 of those kids a spot. I believe that. I believe we as a church are supposed to get those kids a spot, a chance at life, help. They'll get help. They'll get the medicine that they need. They'll get the schooling that they need. There will be a caseworker who will come and will visit them and help them and work with them. Prison Fellowship International is absolutely incredible, started by Chuck Colson, who since passed away. He was in prison. He knows what it feels like. It's different when you've been there. That little girl was 10. She didn't have a chance. Those kids have a chance if we'll give it to them. They're the least of these. They're the least of these. Pull a kid down from their God's going, hey, you're pulling on my heartstrings here. When you pull that kid down, you're pulling on the heartstrings of God. Help him. Help him. Many will be at the back table, and you can't just pull one down and take it home. You got to pull it down. There's the envelope in the back. You have to fill it out and give it to her. So do not take one of those and run with them. If you take one, you have to see Minnie back there. She will take, you need to fill some stuff out. You can do it monthly, put on a credit card. There's a lot of ways to do it. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Yes, it is. That's what makes it special to God. That's what makes it special to God. Let's pray. Father, the least of these, they're important to you. And how we help them, Lord, you value. And you return the favor. Lord, we're not doing it for favor's sake. We're doing it for God's sake. We're doing it for people's lives' sake. We're doing it so kids don't get caught up in the sex slave trade or becoming a child laborer, but so they can have a free shot at what every parent wants for their kids, a shot at growing up, fulfilling their dreams. Help us, Lord, to look beyond our pocketbook and into the lives that will be changed because of it. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us. And I thank you for little Salome, Lord, my girl. Carrie and I, we picked this girl out. 9 from Columbia. Change your life, Lord. Change her life forever. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, and we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Help us to steward them accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need Christ, come on up here. We'll pray for you. If you have another need, come on up here. We're going to pray for you. Whatever happens, we want to pray for you. God loves you. God wants to help you, and so do we. Let's now put feet to the gospel, action to our words. And let's see lives change for Jesus' name. God bless you. Love you.